Let us hear the word of the Lord as it is found for us in the book of Exodus, reading from chapter 15, verses 1 through to 21. You will find it in page 57 of the Pew Bible. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew your adversaries. You sent out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength into your holy abode. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as a stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. For when the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing, and Miriam sang to them, Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This is the word of God. Thanks.
Are we well this morning? That good morning doesn't sound convincing. Good morning. It really is good to see you all, brothers and sisters, this morning. My name is Mxolisi. To those who might not know me, I am part of the pastoral team here in Christchurch Pinetown, and it is a great privilege for me this morning to share God's word with you. We come now to the last sermon of the series of Exodus. I'm sure you were still enjoying it, but hopefully we'll come back in the near future. We'll take a break after this and then start a new series. And I hope that this series has magnified God in your mind. That has been the purpose from the beginning of this series. It is so that our knowledge of who God is may increase. Amen. And so even this morning, that's what we will do in these verses. We will see God for who he truly is and bow down to him in worship as a response. Let us pray. Father, as Harvey prayed, we thank you for not leaving us to die in our sins. You sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, to come and die in our place so that you can redeem us. It was us who sinned, but it was your Son who paid the price for our sins. Oh Father, would you help us this morning to know how we can best respond to this love, the love that we can never fully comprehend. May we respond with faith. May we respond with obedience and repentance, even now as we dive in into your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, friends, we have come to a point in the book where we can confidently say that God's agenda has been successfully completed. I'm sure we all know by now what that agenda is. We've been talking about that agenda from the beginning, and I've just said it even now on my introduction. God's agenda has been to reveal himself. He wanted to be known by his people. Our God is a God who wants to be known. He wants people to acknowledge him, to know that he is alive, he is there, and he wants to have a relationship with people. That has been the purpose right from the beginning. All that we have seen happening in this book so far has been for that same purpose, to reveal who God is to us. We've seen Israel's oppression. We've seen their intensified suffering in Egypt. We've seen God calling his servant Moses to go and rescue Israel in Egypt. We've seen the devastating plagues in Egypt. And just last week, we saw the miraculous parting of the sea. And we asked the question, why? Why all of this? And the answer is this: through all of this, God intended to reveal himself to people. Because God wants to be known. The question is, did God achieve that purpose? Was he successful in making himself known to his people? The answer is found in a song of victory that we just read this morning. That's our title this morning, the song of victory. There are three things in this song that we will see that show us that God was indeed successful in making himself known. Israel have now come to a better understanding of who God is. And praise the Lord, that has been the goal. to reveal who God is. The Lord has revealed himself in three ways, as we will see in this song of victory. He has revealed himself as a warrior. Israel have now come to know God as a warrior. He has revealed himself, as we will see in our second point, as an incomparable God. A God who cannot be compared with anything. And he has revealed himself as a God who deserves our highest praise. That's how God has revealed himself. Amen. Those are 3 points for this morning. And so let's look at our first point. That is, the Lord has triumphed as a warrior. That's going to come in verses 1 to 10. Look at verses 1 to 3 with me. The Bible says, "Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. He's my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God. I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.'" Do you see that? People, Moses and the people of Israel, immediately after crossing the Red Sea, they paused. And they sang a song of victory. They recognized that it was God who saved them. They did not save themselves. They did not do anything to save themselves. It was God. They acknowledged God as the one who fought their battles. They acknowledged God as the one who fought the battle they could not fight for themselves. They had given up. They had no hope of winning the battle against Pharaoh and the Egyptians. The battle was beyond their control. Pharaoh was powerful. We've been seeing that. His army was great. And the Egyptians were more in numbers than them. And so we can say that, logically speaking, there was no way that the Israelites could have defeated the Egyptians. Question is, how did they conquer? How is it that now they are singing a song of victory? They could not save themselves. There was no way they could outnumber the Egyptians and defeat them in the battle. We saw last week, they were trapped. In front of them, the Egyptians were coming, the army. And behind them was the Red Sea. So there was no way to survive this. Question is this it for the people of God? Is this the end? Well, Israel did think that this is the end for them. We saw them, they complained last week. They came to Moses and they said to him, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you took us here to die in the wilderness?" So according to them and according to our logic, they're not going to survive this. But this is according to their logic. This is according to our logic. This is not according to the Lord. The Lord made a way where there seemed to be no way. He opened the sea and he divided it into two. And his people, they walked into the dry land. In other words, the Lord, without any help from Israel's warriors, he defeated Pharaoh and his armies. He fought the battle that his people could not fight for themselves. He single-handedly destroyed all of them. And by that, he revealed himself that he is a God. He is a warrior. He is a mighty warrior. He is great in battles. There is no one that can stand against him. They have now come to a better understanding of God. This is the truth they are singing. The Lord is a mighty warrior. I don't know if you noticed how Moses and the Israelites are addressing God in verses 2. Look at verse 2 with me. They say, the Lord is my strength. He is my song. And he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The person who reads the Bible will pause there and notice something that is happening there. Something important is happening there. If you read Genesis chapter 3, remember when we met Moses in the burning bush, when he met with the Lord. When God was sending him to Egypt to rescue his people, he asked, if I go to Egypt and say to Israel, the Lord has sent me, they will ask, who is this God? In other words, Moses is saying, I do not know you, and they will not know you. Who are you? But when you come to Exodus 15 verse 2, it is the same Moses who says, this is my God. This Lord is my strength. He is my song. He has become my salvation. Oh, come on, church family. Something is happening here. What has happened between Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 15? From the statement, I do not know you, who are you? To the statement, this is my God, and I will praise him. God has revealed himself. He has revealed himself as their salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. Amen to that. The Lord has done a great thing. He has saved them. Through the judgment of Pharaoh and all the Egyptians, he has revealed himself that he is a God who saves. He is a mighty warrior. He fights. He fights for his people. And he fought for them. And he freed them from their oppression. Israel have now come to know the Lord, not just as the God of their father, but as their God. You see how personal that is. He's not just the God of our fathers. He's not just the God of Abraham, of Jacob, of Isaac. He is my God. That's the song they're singing. They have seen God in front of their own eyes. I'm sure if it was today, if we were seeing God opening the sea like that, we would think it's AI. No, he did in front of their eyes. He saved them. And they have moved from the God of my father to my God. I mean, you need to come to youth ministry to come and experience this for yourself. I've been in the youth ministry for a while now, and I've seen this happening so many times. There's a point in youth ministry where you've been teaching the word to these kids, and you can see that at this point, it's the parents and the youth leaders saying, come to church, come to youth, go to camps. They're just dragging themselves. But there's this time that I celebrate the most, where you just see the shift, where it's no longer the parent, it's the teen asking the questions. When is youth ministry? When are we going to camp? When are we going to Crossword Connect? Tell me about baptism. Tell me about confirmation. What is that? He's no longer just the God of my parents. He's my God. You must come to youth ministry to see this. Amen to that. He's no longer just the God of my parents. but he is my God. That's what Israel have come to realize. That's what they have seen in their life. There's a big shift. This is my God, and I will sing to him. In verses 4 to 10, they tell us about how this God has become their God. He has saved them. He threw Pharaoh and Egyptians into the sea. He covered all of them with the floods. Israel's enemies intended to destroy them. They wanted to destroy and finish Israel. But instead, what happened? It was God who destroyed them. Look at verses 9 to 10 with me. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. But this is what the Lord has done in verse 10. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Just think about that. The Lord has defeated their enemies with just a breath, with a mighty hand. He defeated them. He fought the battles they could not fight for themselves. And I don't know about you, church family, but this reminds me of the greatest battle that Christ has fought for me. The battle that he has defeated on my behalf. The battle that I could not fight for myself. He has fought my sin, and he has fought Satan. He has defeated death. Satan is under his feet. Sin has no power. Death has no power, because God is a mighty warrior. He is a fighter. He is great in battles. When sin intended to overpower me, when sin intended to kill me and destroy me, he became a mighty warrior. And he defeated my sin, because God is great in battles. As one song says, my sin was higher than the mountain. It was deeper than the sea. My sins were flowing like a river. But when the Lord sanctified me, when the Lord became my salvation, when he became my strength, when he fought my greatest battle. Isn't that amazing, friends? That through Christ, through his death, through his resurrection, he has fought the battle we could not fight for ourselves. He has won the battle. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he speaks about this, he says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is victory in the blood of the Lamb. Kukhona ukunqoba egazini lika Jesu. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Power to defeat sin, power to defeat death, power to defeat the devil. Our God is a mighty warrior. He is great in battles. I don't care how big is your sin. I don't care the sin you done yesterday. But if you come to Jesus, his blood will wash you. You will be white as snow. He is great in battles. His blood carries enough power to clean you from your sin. He's great in battles. Amen. That's how God has revealed himself to us. We know him as a God who is my God. I don't know if you can say that for yourself, that this God is your God. You can only say that if he has saved you. You realize that Israel were only able to sing that song after crossing the Red Sea, after realizing the salvation that God has done for them. You can only say he is my God after coming to Jesus, after giving your life to Jesus, after surrendering your life to Jesus, after repenting of your sins. You can say he is my God and I will sing praises to him. Amen to that. Our God is great in battles. Question is, do you know him? Have you come to know this God who is great in battles? I know that when we are talking about a God who fights for us, you think about a God who is going to fight the battle between you and your manager at work. The battle between you and your neighbor. We're not talking about that. We are talking about a God who fights the greatest battle of sin. You can make peace with your manager at work. You can make peace with your neighbor. But you cannot deal with your sin. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need his blood to wash you. We are blood washed. He has conquered. He has won the battle. The second way the Lord has revealed himself is that he is incomparable. That's our second point this morning. He has revealed himself to Israel as a God who cannot be compared with anything. Look with me in verses 11. It says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? Who is like you, O Lord?" That's the song. That's the question they're asking after seeing God's salvation. This is a rhetorical question. Moses is not really asking this question, but he is telling us that there is no one like the Lord. He's telling us that the Lord is incomparable. And he is saying this in the ancient world. If you know anything about the ancient world, you know that the polytheism was a norm. There were so many gods. People could pick and choose. People could do a window shopping of a God they want to worship. Tell me about that God. No, I don't like that one. Tell me about this one. No, I don't like this one. Tell me about that one. Oh, I'm going to choose that one. A God for my family. A God for our tribe. A prophet for our own tribe. But this verse boldly tells us that Yahweh stands alone. That no earthly or spiritual force come anywhere close to him. He cannot be compared. He's not just a powerful God in Israel, but he is a powerful God even in Egypt. He defeated them there. Pharaoh tried so many times. He brought the magicians. Brought all his idols and God defeated them. It is worse. In the Red Sea, God buried Pharaoh and his army and all the Egyptians and with their gods. Buried all of them in the sea. Because there is no one who can stand against him. There is no God. There is nothing they can stand against this God. He's unlike the powerless and lifeless idols of Egypt. He's unlike all the things that people worship even today. The things that people compare with God. comparing the Creator with the things He created. Worshipping the created things instead of the Creator. These gods, they don't have power to do that. They don't have power to act like this God. I'm sure they were watching and thinking it's AI. For Moses to show them that this God cannot be compared with anything, look at what he says in verse 12. He says, you stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Did you see that? The right hand symbolizes God's active and saving power. God is alive. He is not dead. He's alive. He's active. He acts. With his right hand that he raised, the earth swallowed them. This means that the forces of nature, they are entirely a subject to God's command. Just think about that. God uses nature to bring justice. He uses nature to judge his enemies. Who can do that? Who can use the ocean to judge? There is no one. God can use anything. He can use the universe to judge sin. He can open the ground and throw people inside. There is nothing he does not control. If he controls the ocean, there is nothing he cannot control. Question is, who can stand against a God like that? Who can compare to a God like that? Can you stand? So Moses is looking back. He says, there is no God like this God. But Moses is not only looking back. He's also looking forward. He's as if Moses knows that the journey does not end where they are. Yes, they have crossed the ocean, but the journey does not end there. God has sent them to Canaan. And so the journey does not end there. But the difference now is that they will travel this journey, but with a testimony of a God who is a mighty warrior, of a God who cannot be compared with anything. They have so much confidence now in the God they have seen. Look at verses 14 to 16. They know that they're still going to fight so many battles, but there's so much confidence. Verses 14 says, the people have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now the chiefs of Edom, dismayed, trembling, seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as a stone. Just underline that. They are still as a stone. That is the God you worship if you do not worship Jesus. It is still as a stone before God. It is lifeless. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. The miraculous news of the parting of the sea and the destruction of the Egyptians, they have spread. They've spread rapidly throughout the ancient Near East. People have heard what the Lord has done to the Egyptians. And people are scared. And that's what you need to do if you do not worship Jesus. You need to be scared. If you have any other God, you need to be scared. Because you cannot face the wrath of this God. I can tell you now for free, there is nothing that you will do to save yourself on that day of judgment. There is nothing that will be able to help you. Not even the money you have on your bank account. There is nothing, even if you worship yourself, even if you worship your parents, they will not be able to save you on that day. You will stand on your own and face the wrath of God. Did you know that God is angry because of your sin? Did you know that God hates you because of your sin? Did you know that you are an enemy of God because of your sin? Yes. I know that you think you are a favorite child of God. That's what people say when they post themselves in their WhatsApp status messages. A favorite child of God. If you've never repented of your sin, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, you stand as an enemy of God, and God cannot wait to judge you. And there's nothing that can save you on that day. Amen. Amen. At some point, these kings, they know that they will have to face this God. They have heard about him. They have heard about what he has done to the Egyptians, and they are scared. They know that Israel is coming. And if Israel is coming, they come with their mighty warrior God. And that is true to you. The day is coming. Will you be able to stand on that day? Here's a difference between the thing you worship and God. It's in verse 18. The Lord will reign forever and ever. This is what makes him to be different from all these gods. He's the only one who will stand on that day. He's the only one who will reign forever and ever. It is those who put their faith in him who will stand on that day. He is the ultimate and eternal king. Earthly rulers like Pharaoh, they are temporal. The thing that you worship, the idol that you worship, it is lifeless and it is temporal. God and his kingdom and his authority will last forever. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ." I don't know if you hear that. There is one God and one mediator. It's not a prophet. It's not prophet. It's not you. It's not your money. Even prophet Allah. He's not. Buddha. He's not. Ancestors, they are not. There is no mediator between the man and the God apart from Jesus. There is one way to God, the man Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus, on that day, you will realize this. You will face the full, mighty wrath of God. Jesus is the one who fought your sin. He's the one who fought your biggest enemy, devil, so that you can worship him. And that's our last point. It's going to be very short. The Lord has revealed himself as the God who deserves our highest worship. because he has revealed himself as a mighty warrior and fought our sin, because he has revealed himself as a God who is incomparable, he deserves our highest worship. We need to worship him. The Bible says Miriam the prophetess and the sister of Aaron took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." You see that? Miriam thinks this is a good enough reason to sing praises to God. God's miraculous deliverance of Israel through the Red Sea is a good enough reason to bow down before God and sing praises to him. She sings to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. She praises God's absolute power. The destruction of Pharaoh's army represents God's triumph over Israel's oppressions, the oppressors. This is a good enough reason for me and you to leave everything else we know and worship God. Because there's nothing that can compare to him. Amen to that. Our God has conquered. He deserves our highest praise, Bazalwane. This marks a change in their identity. They go from enslaved captives to a protected and a free community. They are no longer slaves to fear. They are children of God. Do you know that song? Isn't that the same for us? I think we even have more reasons to thank God. I think we have more reasons to leave everything that we know and come and surrender ourselves, our lives to God. He has defeated our sin and he has defeated Satan. On the cross, Christ fought the battle we could not fight ourselves. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and he put them into open shame. He triumphed over them in him. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to Satan. We are now free. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who has conquered for us. And this morning, I want to invite you all to leave everything that you know, to leave everything that you think can save you, and run to Jesus. We should worship him by repenting of our sins and turning completely away from them. We should worship God by saying no to sin and yes to holiness. And yes, to righteousness. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are so thankful for revealing yourself to us as a God who is a warrior. As a God who is incomparable. As a God who deserves our highest worship. Father, we thank you for your Son, who is the final word from you, who is the only mediator between you and us. We thank you for his work on the cross that moved us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light. For moving us from our sins to being righteous people. Father, thank you for fighting for us. Thank you. Help us to know how to best surrender our lives to you in response to your love and mercy. Amen.